Shalom and Chag Sameach. Good morning, Boker Tov. All of you, Tony commented on it. You sound like you're so happy today. And praise the Lord, we do have something to be happy about. I got on, I always get on a little early, and there were already 88 of you on the line. We have both Alaska and Hawaii. I didn't hear yet if we have New Hampshire and Vermont, but I'll find that out at noon when I go in to do noon prayer. But we have Canada, of course, and we have the Netherlands and UK and Manila, Philippines, and I'm sure there'll be others. There are always some who don't identify their country. I don't know why, but we usually always have someone from Australia. But we're just so happy to be together this morning, and glorious things are happening. I don't know how many of you saw that supermoon last night. It was absolutely beautiful. And, of course, the Bible says in Psalm, let's start with Genesis 1. Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years." And so the sun, the moon, the stars, they are lights in heaven, and they are signs. And this word seasons means moeds. That means they mark the moeds, the appointed dates of God, on God's calendar. And the moon particularly is considered by the rabbis and by the sages to be connected with Israel. And it is in Psalm 104:19 that it says the moon is made for moeds. That means to mark God's dates. So Eliyahu Berkowitz wrote, and this was back in March 4th, because there was a supermoon on Purim. And so he pointed out that the first supermoon of 2020 was on Purim. And the supermoon is when it comes in its orbit closest to the Earth. And so it appears to be roughly 14% larger in diameter. And so he is saying that the whole article, that because there's a supermoon at Purim, and a supermoon then we saw last night, the day before Passover, and there will be another one the day before Rosh Hashanah. So he said by these three, the Jews are always looking for signs and omens, and I check with them myself. I don't know. I can't sign my name to it. But on three major holidays this year, there is a supermoon. And he says, and he draws all kinds of reasoning for this, which I don't know if it's right or not, but that it is the return of the Davidic dynasty. Well, we know that the return of the Davidic dynasty is the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's called David's greater son in some poetic things I've heard. So he's greater than David, but he is from the lineage of David. Now, one of the men that I do check after is a rabbi, Pinchas Winston. And some of them, the Jews don't like to, they're kind of afraid, you know, to talk about marking dates or when things will come, kind of like some Christians are too, and we don't mark dates. He said that we are in the final stages. I read after him, and he's a very, very sane man and a little bit on the scientific side. And when asked if he thought the supermoon had any significance for the Messiah's arrival, Rabbi Winston demurred, saying that ascribing significance to a specific event in the realm of is the realm of prophecy and not for the average man. But any event, no matter how small or distant, could prove to be explosive. But we are, Rabbi Winston said, in the final stages. He gave two examples to illustrate the current condition of mankind in relation to the end of days. It is like when you take a cab to some place and you arrive, but you remain seated in the cab. The meter is still running, but you are at the destination. All that is required is to open the door and get out. Any moment, any small event can trigger the explosion of redemption. So the Jews are looking for redemption, and we are looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. The only redemption we lack is the bodily one. But I really do think, and that we're very, 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 very close to the coming of the Lord. Someone of you, Mark, whenever you came online, you alluded to this, and people are saying this is the first time since Passover night, the original Passover in Exodus chapter 12, that the Jews have been sequestered in their individual homes. I'll make another statement about that, but there is a nationwide curfew on Wednesday, and tonight is the Seder night. I talked to someone in Israel yesterday, and they have three little children, 6, 3, and 2. And so I said, and he said, we're just going to do it here at the house with our, you know, our children. And we have a child's Haggadah, because Passover night can get kind of long when you're reading through the Haggadah. And he said, we're going to go through the child's Haggadah, and it'll be good. So, of course, they did that on the Exodus night. They were in their own homes with their own lamb. But a nationwide curfew has been called for by the Prime Minister, and restrictions will keep Israelis, I'm reading from the Jerusalem Post this morning, will keep Israelis at home during the holiday. Until April 12, there will be no public transportation, only cabs. Israelis cannot travel more than 100 meters from home, including to walk their dogs. He asked the Prime Minister that, not only asked, but kind of ordered that they eat their seders in their homes with their nuclear families only. Now, people are saying this is the first time since the Exodus that this has happened. Well, I got to thinking about it. Not really. During the Inquisition in Spain, they had to hide to do their seders. And they would do it with on threat of their lives or being tortured. And most of them didn't travel and have large Seder meals. They stayed in their own home. But as I got to thinking about it, this is the first time they've done it with their own leaders calling for it. Of course, at God's command, Moses called for it. And then Benjamin Netanyahu called for it. The other times throughout history when they've had to hide, it was always, it was not their own leaders. So there is a way you can say that this is the first time, and that's very interesting. Their president, Rivlin, reminded everyone that the Jewish people are one family. He said, this is our story, our anchor, what binds us together, even when we need to be apart. And this is, I thought his remarks were good. This is what he said to the Israelis. Dear Israelis, this year we will mark Seder night in difficult circumstances because of the corona plague, the modern affliction that casts a dark shadow on us all. Suddenly, we realize how important the simple things that make up our daily lives are to us. Simple things like going outside and breathing the spring air, which is always part of Pesach. Like the bustling and hurrying that are so Israeli, of the preparations for the holiday, and like the gathering of the family, loved and familiar, together around the Pesach table. Suddenly, when we are faced with social distancing, closures, and isolation at homes, we feel even more clearly importance of the obligation to, quote, tell the story to your children. Of passing on the story from generation to generation, from grandparents to grandchildren to great-grandchildren. This is our story, our anchor, what binds us together, even when we need to be apart. Going back to that Passover night and the original Passover, in Exodus chapter 12. And by the way, I'm going to be talking about some of these things on the Victory Network at 4 o'clock this afternoon for an hour, and then it will be repeated at 8 o'clock. It's an interview. And, of course, with today's social distancing, we're going to do it by Skype. So it won't be the very best ever quality, but it'll be good. It'll be good. So now I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 12. It's a wonderful chapter for you to read. And, of course, they're told to put the blood on the doorpost. Verse 13. God said that judgment will be executed, he said in verse 12. Actually, the whole of mankind was due judgment. God holds it off. And that night he's going to lift his hand over and allow some judgment to take place. You know, the wages of sin is death. And so the enemy, it's the destroyer who does it. We're going to read that verse. That's verse 23. It's the destroyer. God allows it, of course. He lifts his hand. And the destroyer would love to have destroyed the children of Israel, but he's going to be limited by the blood on the doorposts. There are going to be certain houses he cannot go in. So now this is verse 13 of Exodus 12. And the blood shall be to you for a token. A ransom was actually paid for the little Hebrew firstborn. And a ransom has been paid for us. Praise his name. And we have to keep that token applied. Bless the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Now we're going to skip over to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You can see it's the destroyer, it's Satan. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep the service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. I have been blessed to be in Israel, in the home of one of the most outstanding ones was an Orthodox Jewish family who lived in Efrat. And they always choose in every home the youngest child to say, what means this night? Why is this night different from any other nights? Is what the question is from the young child. And then the father answers, it's when God delivered us. And so just think about it, folks. It talks about a plague. That was a plague. It calls it a plague. And there they are going to be tonight, and they're going to be saying, God delivered us from the plague. Praise God, hallelujah. When Jesus, as is recorded in the book of Luke, he said, oh, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And he said, I'm the bread. They always hide the middle piece of matzah. I'm the bread that comes forth from the earth. There's a new covenant. This covenant is signed in my blood. all through the time. He had already done three Passovers with those followers of his. But he said, oh, I couldn't wait to get to this one, because he's going to tell them how he fulfilled it. And that's what we remember when a plague enemy again has aimed to destroy the destroyer again, has aimed that which the thief, he comes to thieve, to kill, and to destroy. He's called the destroyer. And the destroyer has come. But oh my goodness, the whole world that believes in God, the Jews, and hallelujah, the new man, the new creature, the body of Christ. Hallelujah, praise be to God. I tell you, praise God, hallelujah. Lynn and I, of course, were talking, Lynn Hammond and I were talking last night, quite late into the night, about the moon and the signs that we see all around and the dates which we've picked out, but we don't tell anybody because we don't want to be labeled a false prophet or whatever. Roy Hicks said, go ahead and pick out a date. There might be a prize for the one that gets it right. So tonight, and as we go into what we call the Easter weekend, it's resurrection weekend, as we go into that time, we have to remember we have a deliverer. You know, I watch Pat Robertson. That's a good place to get your news. And he was impassioned yesterday. He said, what is this? An innate little bug has attempted to do this to the body of Christ, who has the authority? And he threw out a gauntlet. He threw out a challenge to every pastor Sunday. And I told it to my son, Chip. Everybody in this body of Christ and every pastor, come out and together take their authority over the coronavirus and demand and command it to cease and exist. Well, we're going to do it in our 3 o'clock prayer call. And I trust a lot of pastors will have heard it. Can you imagine what's going to be like Sunday? We're not going to, you see, there are different kinds of prayer. And when you pray, they have different rules. And when you pray, you apply the rule that has to do with your prayer. If it's going to be a prayer of consecration and dedication, then you're seeking God's will on what to do. That's the only prayer you say, thy will be done. Because you know his will on the other things. You shouldn't be praying opposite God's will, and God's will for healing, for instance, is clear. So when we make a prayer of supplication or we lay hands on the sick, we're clear about it. Now here is this prayer. Yes, it is a prayer because prayer is working with God. And God said to us, they which have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So most of you on this line know it and are doing it. Praise the Lord. I know it and I'm doing it every morning. So here we go, and we are taking out after that plague, and we are not going to be praying any begging prayers. We're praying the prayer of the authority of the believer. And we're going to do it right here on this phone. We're going to tell that coronavirus to cease and desist in its maneuvers. And, folks, I am expecting a sharp decline. I mean sharp. And I am expecting by May 1, it's going to start going down right now sharply. And I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting, and I know we'll have it, but this is going to be a divine, a miracle is a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. We speak of miracle births, but really they're not. That's the ordinary course of nature. A miracle is when God parts the Red Sea, which is really the Reed Sea. And so we're expecting a miracle to deal with this coronavirus. And we're not going any longer than now to expect it. So here we go. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let the eyes of our hearts, our understanding, be enlightened that we might know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and, O Lord, the exceeding greatness of your dunamis to usward who believe, which is according to your mighty power, which you wrought in the Christ, the Messiah, when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your own right hand, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You put all things under his feet, and you gave him head to a body, the ecclesia, the fullness of him, which filleth all in all, and we who were dead, slain by our trespasses and sins, but God, you who are rich in mercy, and for your great love wherewith you loved us, when you quickened the head, you quickened the body together with him. When you raised the head, you raised the body together with him. When you seated the head, you seated the body together with him at your own right hand. And now we are above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and these things are under our feet. Holy and wondrous Father, we thank you that you delivered Israel. And we thank you that through Jesus, you delivered us. You sent him, it is written, to destroy the works of the devil. The coronavirus is the work of the devil. And now we are going to apply. We're going to rule and reign just like you told us to. You said and commissioned us and gave us the authority to do it. You said in Romans 5:17, they which have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So here we go. Powers of hell, not yet there but in the heavens. Satan on down to the lowest level devil. We are the body of the Anointed One. He is the head and we are the body. And we are seated in Him at our own Father's right hand. In the Spirit, every single one on this line is seated together in Christ at the Father's right hand. We are seated and have the badge of authority to operate in the earth because we're still in our earthly bodies, and that's our badge. And we're seated around the world and all across the United States and Canada. There's where we sit. And we exercise our authority, and in the unity that is given us in our Lord Jesus Christ and by our Father, we say unto you, Satan, kingdom of darkness, we take authority over you in this coronavirus. We say to you, cease and desist in your operation. Cease and desist in the cells of people who are already sick and infected. Cease and desist on all surfaces, hard surfaces, soft surfaces, droplets in the air. We call you dead, impotent. As our Lord and Master said in that holy week to the fig tree, dry up from the roots. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. We say unto you, coronavirus, dry up from the roots. No man be affected by you hereafter forever. Not in our households. Not in our habitational authority. And not in this country and those sundalamakaya makarandande rep presented. We come out against you as a man, and that man is the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. We give all glory to the Father. Let us praise the Father now. Oh, by the way, Satan, we want you to know that with the hyssop of our mouths, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of our covenant, we apply it to our own selves, spirit, soul, and body. We apply it to our family, spirit, soul, and body, our colleagues, our partners in the Lord's work. The blood, it's always stopped you. Even a symbol of the blood stopped you from harming Rahab. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We make much of the blood, and the blood makes much of us. E praston de livrapata. Candide merianandia. Father, we want to praise you. We give you glory. Let's all give him glory together. We give you glory. We give you halamoranda. We sancti dubodanda. Vidola marande li visto. We lift up those Jews in their houses. We lift them up. Oh, Father. Oh, Master. Make your very presence known to them. Holy One, we praise you. We praise you for the power of the blood. We praise you, Holy One. We give you glory and adoration. We lift up your plan for Israel. Your plan to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And we see it coming soon, soon, soon. Soon, soon, soon. We pray for the shalom, the unity of earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, Father. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. Open our eyes that we may see that plan and that we may be in that plan what we're supposed to be. Showing, manifesting the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. Principalities and powers know this day that our God, who created us for his very own purpose, is bringing things to a marvelous and wonderful future, as bright as he can make it. And know that you're doomed and we're saved. We send that signal that Philippians calls for. In the name above all names, may all of you be blessed. I'll trust to see some of you at noon and maybe at 4 and 8. Don't look at my hair too closely. They closed my beauty shop down. But, praise the Lord, it'll be open soon. And then, of course, we're going to be here Sunday again taking our authority. And it'll be the same numbers on the Sunday call at 3. It's the same numbers that are on this call. We had 30 states last time. I thought that was good. Oh, praise the name. Chag Sameach, that's happy feast. And wonderful, wonderful Resurrection Sunday, as you remember. Our very reason for being is that he raised from the dead, triumphant over evil. Bless you, bless you, bless you, and shalom, shalom.